This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. And now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a big ho, ho, ho to you as well. Welcome to the big program. Here it is, White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. It's on the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network, coast to coast on the network tonight, the flagship station here in Vancouver, Sportsnet 650. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Busy show we got coming your way. You already heard Jack, but let's get Jack out of the way. Hey, Jack, because if he doesn't get the street cred, he walks. Jack the Giant is with us. Hello, Jack. How you doing tonight?
Ho, ho, ho.
Jack the Giant in fine form. He is my bouncer. We have a live studio audience here tonight. Any problem with any of you guys? And last week we had problem with Tuya, who were not expecting a 2-for-3 weekend for the Vancouver Giants. You had to be bounced last week. We will invite you back this week. Don't do it again. Our special, Jack's the bouncer. It's up to him. Our live studio audience tonight, hello to you guys as well. Going wild, they're going wild. All right, you look at you seem in fine form. Let's keep it that way tonight. It was a 2-for-3 weekend for the Vancouver Giants. More on that in a moment. Coming up in the program, a couple of minutes away here. Ryan Lynn, he's from Richmond. He wears jersey number 4, just like Bobby Orr with the Vancouver Giants. A first-round draft pick, potential first-round draft pick, maybe a top 10 pick coming up in the NHL draft as well. Ryan Lynn, a fine defenseman for the Giants coming up. Nathan Canter later in the program. Bill Wilms, as always, too. Our Vancouver Giant game wrap in a minute from their last game, which was a doozy, which was Saturday night at the Langley Event Center when the Giants managed a 4-3 victory over Everett, handing the Silver Tips their first road loss of the year, backed by Burke Hood's 55-save performance. Hood was incredible in that hockey game, obviously, stopping 55 of 58 Silver Tip shots. Giants have won 2 in a row. The 4-3 win over Everett on Saturday, coupled with Friday night's 3-2 victory in Penticton in a shootout. In that one, goaltender Kelton Pine, 46 saves, including 9 in 3-on-3 overtime. It went to a shootout. The Giants won it 3-2. Prior to that, on Wednesday night, Wenatchee took care of the Giants 5-2. Road game for the Giants, who were down 4-1 in the second period. Did not recover. But after that, the Giants came back with a win Friday over Penticton, Saturday over Everett, and they've now won 2 in a row. Good on the Vancouver Giants. Here's how the Saturday night game sounded. You heard it right here. It was on Sportsnet 650.
Chance behind his own net along the far wall for Vaughn, and now for Temple. Followed up by Chance. He can't cut to the middle. Here's Dominic Kelly with speed into the offensive zone. A shot! Scores! Leo Dominic Kelly with a rocket to the top corner. Vancouver opens the scoring on their first shot. 2:29 in. To the left point for Chasko. Quick shot deflected loose in front. Lynn will step up. He's got time and space. Looks for Haliburta. He's in behind the defense. Right circle, a shot. He scores! Haliburta's already got his 15th goal of the season as he beats Legault 5-hole. 2-0 Vancouver. Just under 11 minutes still remaining in this first period of play. Vancouver leading 2-1. Their first white spot power play of the game as Schmidt will carry in with speed. Down the right wing, he's got a step. He's in! He scores! What a shot! His 17th of the season, short side, top cheddar, 3-1 Giants. Pace in on the left wing, we're going to get a fight. Braden Regal, his first career WHL fight. He's dropping the mitts with Clark Schaefer as they hold on to one another. Regal trying to get his right hand free, and a couple good uppercuts. Schaefer responds. Regal still, oh, a couple, 2-3 right-handers. Now Schaefer gets his right free. What a tilt at center ice. They're exchanging blows, Regal and Schaefer still going at it. Schaefer trying to get that right free, and the linesman will break it up as the crowd shows their appreciation. What a tilt from those two young men. Top of the left circle, across for Heslop, and he lost the puck. The Giants may try shorthanded. Morelli to Lynn. A 2-on-2. Linda Morelli cutting to the net on his backhand. He shoots. Stop. Rebound. What a save. And the Giants have drawn a penalty. A penalty shot. the first career penalty shot for Morelli. Scored his first career goal a couple of weeks ago in this building as he starts out from right to left. Morelli slowly in on the left side. He's a left-handed shot, stick handling in. Shoots Fifel. He scores! Chasko up the near boards for Temple. He'll backhand it up ahead. Here's Vaughn. Might be a two-on-one down the wing. Vaughn has a man in front and shits. Oh, my goodness. What a glove save from Burke Hood. Outright robbery on Zachary Schantz.
Hood robbed a lot of guys. Hood was amazing in the hockey game. Again, a 55-save performance. 4-3 over Everton Saturday night. Schmidt is 17th. Halliburton is 15th. Leonardo Dominic Kelly, his second. There were some snipes in that game. He had one of them, too. Lind had a couple of helpers. Obo Tittleback as well. Again, the Giants, who improved their record to 10-14-2, have now won two in a row, backed by the Hood performance. And the Morelli, don't forget, the Toretto Morelli penalty shot. That turned out to be the game-winning goal. Gave Vancouver a 4-1 lead. They held on to win it by a score of 4-3. Next up for the Giants, they host Portland on Friday night at the LEC. And then Saturday in Everett again, take on these Silvertips. They'll be pissed. And then Sunday, Vancouver in Portland against the Winterhawks. So a couple of Winterhawk games sandwiched around the Saturday Everett game. That's on the slate coming up for your Vancouver Giants. Meanwhile, as promised, our special guest of the night, he wears number 4 for the Vancouver Giants, the pride of Richmond, graduate of the Delta Hockey Academy. He's played, again, I believe, he can correct me if I'm wrong, with the Richmond Sockeyes. He's been with Team Canada at the Canada CHL USA Prospect Challenge in Calgary and Lethbridge. He wears jersey number 4. His name is Ryan Lynn. Hello, Ryan. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for the intro.
Oh, thank you, pal. Well, I do PA out at the Giants game, so I always like it. And you're in on the scoring a lot. It allows me to roll my R's, buddy. I'm always looking for something with the guys or whatever. So,
yeah.
Hey, pal, how are you? How's life treating you these days?
It's going pretty good. I like going to the rink and playing hockey. It's been really fun.
That's the plan, I guess. I'll ask you about what's going on with the Giants in a moment, but the CHL USA Prospect Challenge you were just at, what's your takeaway from those two games you guys played?
It was a really cool experience for me. I know I watched it last year, and it being against the U.S. now is really good, and I think it's a great competition, and the best of the best from the CHL is there, so it's a really fun event, and I had lots of fun there, and it's a nice way to kind of showcase yourself.
How eye-opening is it, Ryan, to get there? And I know you know elite players, but you're in that category now, the elite prospect player pool, and to see all these other guys around you. Are you in awe a little bit at times of the guys you're playing with, or did players dazzle you a little bit, like, holy smokes, these guys are at another level?
You look around at those events, like, it's crazy. There's guys who, they play at such a high level, and they're going to be really good, and they are really good right now. So it's fun to watch and play alongside them too. And with all that skill, it's really fun to play with them out there.
What's the rivalry like playing against the Americans? Like, for you personally?
I can't stand losing to America. So every time we go against them, it's Canada versus USA. And yeah, those are the games you want to show up in, and those are the games you want to play in. So they're really fun for me. I think competing at that level is a pleasure and an honor. So, I don't take it lightly and try to do my best to beat the USA every time.
I hear you. Why not? May as well while you're there. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like it when Canada beats the USA too. How well do you think you played?
It's hard. You know, we're not a team like them, and we're a little more disconnected and didn't have too much chemistry, but I think I played pretty good and showcased myself.
Here you are, year two, and it seems longer to me. I don't know if it does to you, but your second full year, shall we say, with the Vancouver Giants. Do you feel like a veteran already? Because it feels to me like you're a veteran.
A little bit. I mean, it's still my second year,
I guess I should say, are you really comfortable?
Yeah, a lot more comfortable than last year, I think. Like the little things off the ice too, I've become more comfortable with, and the whole organization. So, I can kind of just go out there and play and focus on hockey and really get into it and in that type of way. And I think on the ice, my game's come a long way since last year, and off the ice too. I think I'm more of a leader this year, and I have the respect of my teammates.
By the way, you took a puck to the face a couple nights ago in your 2-assist effort against Everett. How's your head?
It's okay. Just caught me. I think it just caught the strap of my helmet, so it didn't catch me clean, but it's a little swollen and red, but I'm good.
That's good. Well, you came back at least, and you did not leave the bench. But I saw one of the guys take. I don't know if your helmet broke, but I saw one of the guys taking your helmet off before they took you off.
Yeah.
So that was great to see you come back as well. How much better of a player are you? In what way, I would suggest, are you a better player this year than last year, Ryan?
Yeah, I think last year I was a little sheltered, and I wasn't the guy who was relied on to, you know, be one of our best players every night and really, you know, drive the team, drive the play. So I think just in that area, I've been better, and I've had to be that guy for us. And, you know, a lot of the situations rely on me. So just having that, you know, pressure to perform and do that. But I think that's the part of my game that's come along since last year.
Has it always been that way for you, though? I mean, pick any level of hockey. Like if you're going to be the elite guys at a younger level, good enough to get yourself into the WHL, you're probably a guy that was always looked upon, even when you're 12 years old.
Yeah, that's right. Like I've always been relied upon, but this year I want to kind of embrace it a lot more and flourish in it.
Ryan Lynn joining us. He wears jersey number 4, just like Bobby Orr. I don't know if that was your intent, but are you a Bobby Orr fan, or were you, or why you wear jersey number 4?
Kind of just got it when I got to the Delta Hockey Academy. I mean,
it's a great number.
Number Bobby Orr, yeah, everything. So
it's a great number. Who were you? Yeah. Who were you a fan? Were you a Canuck fan? You got a Richmond. You must have been a Canuck fan growing up.
Yeah, huge Canuck fan. Yeah.
Favorite players? Hit me.
Right now, I mean, Quinn Hughes is my favorite player. So I think he's unbelievable. And then growing up, it was Alex Burrows, Bo Horvat. I'd say those two guys for sure.
Those are great guys. I had the privilege back then with the Team 1040 at the time, or TSN 1040, to be in the locker room for many years, and Burroughs was the greatest guy. People hated him on the ice, but he was the greatest guy. And Kevin Bieksa, wow. You had some guys in there who were really, really nice as well. Horvat was so classy. I could go on, and I could take you back to the 90s with Pavel Bure and Trevor Linden and all those guys too. Don't get me started, man. But what an honor to be around all those guys too. So have you met any of these guys?
No, I haven't got a chance to meet any of them.
You will soon. You will soon in a couple of years, with them or against them. You'll be meeting them very shortly, I know. What age were you when you started playing hockey?
My brother got into it when he was 5, and he's 3 years older than me, so I started like skating when I was 2, but I didn't probably actually start playing maybe two years later. So
wow,
I got started pretty early though. Yeah.
Wow, you're talking 4 or 5 years old and skates on it too. And were you always like? Can you remember back then? Were you always a good skater?
I think I was pretty good. I don't know.
I don't know. At four, yeah. At 4, you're probably not. Maybe a little on your ankles, but as you developed, do you recall when you first went, whoa, wait a minute, I actually can do this. I'm actually pretty good at this. Are you in Bantam? Or are you, I don't even know what they call the leagues anymore. How old are you when you really knew, hey, wait a minute, this might be something?
I'd say my first year at the Delta Hockey Academy, I was playing with some older guys and I was doing pretty good. So I was like, whoa.
How old are you then?
13, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your next set? What do you have to get better at? What other gear do you have, Ryan?
My goal scoring. Like I could, not just goal scoring, but putting myself in areas to score more goals. I think I can capitalize on the chances I get. I get a lot of chances. So I think just starting to put some more in the back of the net for sure.
You do. I don't know if it's a game plan, but you're up front a lot. I mean, I do see you with, and you're not caught. You don't get caught there. But is that the game plan for Ryan Lynn to go to the net?
When I can pick my spots and join the rush, I'm all for that, and that's where a lot of my offense comes from. So I'm always looking to jump in there. Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it, pal. Such a terrific player. You look ahead. I should have asked you, because people would be mad. Are you looking ahead to the draft? Are you hearing anything? What's running through your mind?
Hockey's I've learned that it's a crazy world this year, and there, you know, there's a lot of people that I've had to talk to, and it's a whirlwind, but I love it. It's what I do, and but I'm really looking forward to the draft, and I'm trying not to think about it too much, but obviously it's an exciting year for me. So
who helps you out mentally when things maybe get a little overwhelming?
Definitely my parents. I think they kind of keep me grounded and centered. So
yeah,
kudos to them. And yeah, they're kind of my support system.
You still have to take the garbage out. You still have to do chores.
Yeah, exactly.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Way to go. To the Lynn parents, a tip of the sporting cap. Hey, man. Thanks, Ryan. I'll see you on Friday night against Portland. Terrific season. And it's a pleasure being talking to you. I look forward to watching what you do. So I can tell people one day that I talked to Ryan Lynn. That's going to be cool. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, bro.
Good guy. Good guy. Ryan Lynn, jersey number 4. Where will he go in the upcoming NHL draft? It's a first rounder. He's targeted as a first rounder. Everything could always change. And a potential top 10 pick as well in the draft. You're looking potentially at another Vancouver Giant, Gilbert Brulé, Evander Kane among them, who will be drafted potentially in the top 10. Was it Brulé 6th and Kane 4th years ago? We'll see what happens with Ryan Lynn as we move forward. Stay with us as we move forward here. Nathan Kanter is going to join us. Bill Wilm later in the program as well. Stay with us. I'm Brooke Ward. This is Vancouver Giants This Week, a presentation of White Spot on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
Vancouver Giants This Week, a presentation of White Spot. Brooke Ward with you back here on the big show. Nathan Kanter in just a couple of minutes. Top scorers for the Giants over the week, by the way, the 2-1 record. Tyus Sparks had a 3-goal week. He's now sitting on what, 11 on the season? I want to double check that as well. No, he got an 8th and his 9th. Yes, he's at 10. 8th and his 9th on Wednesday night, and then his 10th on Friday night in the 3-2 shootout win in Penticton. So Sparks led the way with 3 goals. Schmidt had a pair. He's up to 17. Haliburda got his 15th. Also 2 helpers for Haliburda as well. So a 3-point weekend for Haliburda. 3 goals for Sparks. Schmidt ultimately with 2 goals and a helper. Sparks, Schmidt, Haliburda in that order when it comes to goals then assists. The top goal scorers for your Vancouver Giants this week. And again, we talk about goaltending as we will with Nathan Kanter coming up. Burke Hood 1-0 on the weekend. Kelton Pine 1-1. And both were outstanding over the weekend for the Vancouver Giants. 2-1 week for the G-men. By the way, so many things happening over the weekend for the Vancouver Giants, the weekend that passed. But this one was huge. This was rather early. One of Nathan Kanter's, I hope he caught his breath. I don't think he had a chance to take a breath, literally. The hockey game in Penticton on Friday night. Don't blink, or the Giants have a 1-0 lead.
Kelton Pine in net for the Giants is right off the faceoff. Here's Schmidt into the zone, down the right wing. He scores! 5, count it, 5 seconds in, Cameron Schmidt has opened the scoring with a great individual effort.
5 seconds in, I don't know what I have done in 5 seconds in my life. He said, go. I don't know what my best 5 seconds are. Was that Cam Schmidt's best 5 seconds or the man who called the goal's best 5 seconds? Because he was ready to go off the top. Hello, Nathan Kanter.
Anything. Hello.
That took 5 seconds right there to say hello. Cameron Schmidt scores. Right there, Cameron. That's all it was. Time to say hello. Basically, that's about it. The time to say hello, and he buried that. That was crazy in that game.
Yeah, that was literally, you have to be ready for puck drop. Anything can happen with Cameron Schmidt on the ice in the blink of an eye, and that's what happened to start that game. It was, it really was something. It tied a Western Hockey League record. No one over the course of these decades and decades in the league has scored a quicker goal than Schmidt just scored on Friday night in Penticton. He tied the WHL record. 1987, last time a goal was scored in five seconds. So it set the tone for that game. But that was the funny thing, Brooke, with that Friday game against Penticton, which the Giants needed to get 2 points. It was great how it started. You got to be ready when Schmidt was ready to go ahead of everyone and they got up to a lead.
But the story of the weekend and where the Giants are at right now is at the other end of the rink. It's in net. It's in goal. And I think that's why moving forward, there has to be optimism amongst the Giants team, because goaltending can change so much. We had two incredible performances from two different goaltenders on back-to-back nights, and the Giants picked up 4 points. Huge. Absolutely huge.
Big time. And Kelton Pyne has been very good since Vancouver picked up the 20-year-old. And he had great games. And I'm going to go back to him, but the guy who really needed a great game was the guy who had 55 saves on Saturday night. Would you agree or disagree?
You know what? He said that. He said that himself. He said he needed that after the game. He was really tired. That was the first thing he said. How do you feel after that? When he goes, yeah, that was a lot of shots. 58 shots on Berkhood on Saturday. And he wins. He wins 4-3, 55 saves. And that actually ties, Brooke, that ties a Giants all-time franchise record. Only once previously a goalie had 55 saves, and it was in 2002. So it's been a while. Brett,
do you know who that goaltender was?
Brett Jagger.
Okay.
I hope I'm saying that right. But he played 47 games for the Giants in their first year, because it was in March 2002. It was a loss. If you allow 59 shots, usually you don't win. They lost to Calgary 4-1. Here, Berkhood makes 55 saves and he wins. Yeah. He went over the best team in the league.
So Berkhood moved like Jagger, is what you're saying.
Hey, there we go.
Thank you.
How did I not? Oh, my God. That was tremendous.
You can use that in the next game. You don't even have to give me credit. But if you want. So, Bill, he moved like Jagger. Bill won't. He doesn't know the song, though. Sorry, listen. Google it. Well, how's he going to know Move Like Jagger? Like, are you kidding? That was this century.
Big
He's
one,
not going to know that. So Move Like Jagger. Even some of our listeners are, what? Just Google it, folks. But
he
was incredible. What a late too. What were the shots in the third period? Do you know?
Do we want to reveal?
Well, it was a victory, and I was thinking, is that two shots on goal for the Giants that period?
They gave them five.
Okay.
They gave them five. 24-5 in the third.
Okay. How in the world?
22-10 in the second.
How did they get the five? The puck was in their own end the whole time, is what. And I'm not being mean. I'm just like, okay, you're defending against the best team in the league. You're going to defend a 4-2 lead, and then you get into the final 10 minutes with a one-goal lead, and you're probably going to defend. And wow, Hood, it was so many close chances. What a game, though, huh?
Well, I was going to say, were you not entertained?
That was
incredibly entertaining. And Friday was too. Like, let's be honest, this was, I know, 3-2, 4-3, like kind of ordinary scores. But the pace was fast. The Giants flew out of the gate on Saturday, getting up to an early lead, and crowd got into it. And there was a decent contingent of Everett fans too at Saturday. I'm sure you heard them.
Oh, yeah, quite noisy.
Yeah. Got to credit them. But the Giants obviously hold on. And in both games, I mean, it was the Friday in Penticton, Giants were up 2-0, and then Penticton does eventually tie it and send it to overtime. That was one of the most exciting overtimes I've ever called. Kelton Pyne making 9 saves in 5 minutes of overtime. And then Berkhood the next day making 23 saves in the third period alone.
Crazy. Those 9 saves, part of his 46-save effort in the victory on Friday. Pyne, by the way, in the loss to Wenatchee on Wednesday, 29 saves still, with Vancouver at that point a 906 save percentage, now up to 909 with Vancouver playing so well, the 46 saves on Friday. Berkhood's 55 saves on Saturday. Brooke did math, which means do not take this to Vegas, but all three combined, or all two goaltenders in the three games, combined to make 130 saves on 140 shots. 929 save percentage combined. Hood, 948 in the one game. Pyne, 914 in the two games he played. So at the moment, come on, Burke. Let's see second half Burke could come along and Pyne continue to roll, and that would be I'd be pining away for that, too, and I would move like Jagger.
Love the puns. Keep them coming. Yes, it's you know what? It was about this time last year that Hood caught fire.
Yep.
Like, it was... I want to say, I'm going to double check you here. I want to say first week in December seemed to be where he turned it around. Yeah, it was December 6th. goes into Tri-City, 30-32, wins on their teddy bear toss, goes into Portland 2 days later, 34-36, wins on their teddy bear toss. And that seemed to be the point where he started to really get comfortable. And we know how great his back half of the season was. And Bill, next weekend, it's December 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's the same. And hey, you play Portland too. You play Portland twice next weekend.
Okay. Here,
so,
I hate to cut you, but here I am again. He was 2-0 in teddy bear road wins. Did he win the Vancouver? Did he play in the Vancouver teddy bear toss? Do you remember?
He did, but the Giants did not win. Was he pulled in that one?
There. I don't know. Just do some homework on that. Because he could be, he's either, because I was hoping he could be 3-0 in teddy bear toss. Nice.
Well, here's the thing. Next weekend, it's Everett's teddy bear toss on Saturday.
Okay. Well, maybe Pine will get the start. Otherwise, you're looking, wait a minute, I am undefeated on the road in teddy bear toss. Superstitious. Mm-hmm. The Giants teddy bear toss this year against Victoria on home ice on Saturday, December 13th. Presentation of Preston GM. That's not far away.
But yeah, that's not far away.
These guys cooking with gas. And tell me more about Pine.
Well, he's been, I mean, he's got two wins with the Giants, but he deserves so much more. Like you say that 909 save percentage, and I don't think that does justice for how good he's been and how, like, the record 2-6-1, they should have won the game. The shootout loss was in Penticton when he was fabulous. I think it was his second start as a Giant, and he was, I believe, 40 of 43, and the Giants allowed a goal in the last minute. So that should have been a win, and that's not on Pine. That should have been a win. Then, you know, he comes in relief a couple of times and is great once against Penticton. Another time, he's been fabulous. And Pine's interesting. He's not the biggest goalie. He's not, and I mean by height and by weight, like he's a 173. But he's very athletic. He moves really, really well, really efficiently. And there's a moment in the game in Penticton on Friday. He came out of the net, I think, to play the puck or maybe to get his stick, and didn't realize that Penticton was coming up the ice in overtime. He had to rush back into the net, and he did. He got there, made one save, but the rebound then was lying there, and he had to sprawl out and make a second save, diving from his left to his right with the blocker.
I was watching that on Victory.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
By the way, he's 2-6-1, so if I was going to tell you, he's got a 909 save percentage, and he's got 9 results. You would not think he's 2-6-1. Yet, in fairness, too, if you come on in relief in the previous goaltender, you're down 3-0, and you come into the game and you give up the fourth goal and your team, so you're only giving up one, the other team score, your own team scores 3 and you lose 4-3. If you give up the game winner despite what's happened in front of you, you get the loss. So that I'd have to do math on it, but that could factor into the equation of why he's 2-6-1 with the save percentage. He might have given up one or two goals in a game that was lopsided. Giants come back but don't win. He gets the L.
Correct. Yeah. Very good. Yes, that did happen in Penticton.
So maybe there's a couple of those. By the way, Galen Patterson was talking to you post-game in Penticton and talking about Pine. He said Pine put his team in the back and get us 2 points. But here's what I want to ask you about, sir. He's a funny character, says Galen, the assistant coach. When a guy like that plays his heart out, everyone's all over it. He's a funny character. Do you know Pine well enough to tell me he's a funny character?
He's got a very dry sense of humor. I would say that about Pine. Yes. You know, as a goalie yourself, goalies are quirky.
Not all quirky.
You can say that.
You know, I'm a little
mostly
quirky.
Mostly, no. Come on.
But can you give me a Pine example of dry humor?
Well, go watch our Y2K video on Vancouver Giants social media channels.
VancouverGiants.com or on Instagram, wherever?
On Instagram, on Facebook, on our X account. We did celebrate. Yeah, we had the Y2K game the other day.
It's a great answer, by the way. That's a great answer by you. Just go watch the video. You'll find out.
Go watch the video.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, it's entertaining. The guys have no idea what the old stuff is, including Kelton Pine. And he's funny about it.
I'm going to go check that out. So here comes Portland. The winner, Cam Neely's old Portland Winterhawks, come to town on December the 5th. Then there's 3 in a row at Everett, at Portland. 3-3 in the weekend, too. Everett, Portland. At least you're not going back to Penticton again somewhere. To Everett, to Penticton, then back to Portland. But you've got 3-3 this weekend, hosting Portland, then Saturday at Everett, Sunday back at Portland. Your thoughts just of 3-3 again.
Yeah. I mean, obviously not easy with travel, with two road games plus a home game. At least the way the schedule works is at least it's progressive. Like you're at home, then you go a little far and then a bit of a further one. And that wraps the weekend. And Everett, we know Angel of the Winds Arena is not an easy place to play. It is funny that Everett's road record is better, surprisingly, than their home record, but they're still 7-2-1-1 or 7-2-2-1, I believe, at home ice. It's a rowdy crowd, so that'll be a little tough on Saturday. I think the key for the Giants next weekend is to win the Friday game. You're at home, you're facing a Portland team that is good but not great. They're 15-11 this season, so they are third in the West, but they're high. Hey, if you want entertaining, I bet your Friday's game will be entertaining. Just the way that Portland plays, they're always fast rush chances, and the Giants can be very exciting and very effective off the rush themselves. So I think you're going to get a lot of scoring chances in Friday's game at 7 p.m. when Vancouver hosts Portland. And Portland, then when the Giants go there on Sunday, that's not an easy place to play either. And they've renovated the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, so I'm interested to see what they've done to that building. It's usually a good crowd there. So next weekend is not easy. I think the key is Friday. You start well, but the big thing moving forward is if this type of goaltending, and I don't mean this specific 55 saves, 46 saves, obviously the Giants don't want to allow that number of shots. Everett's a really, really good team, and they firing 58 shots, a little surprisingly, Brooke, is not that unusual for them to get 50-plus shots in a game. But I just think the Giants getting this type, this just better goaltending, goaltending where maybe you can steal a game here and there, and maybe if you're outshot, you still give your chance at your team a chance to win, that can make all the difference for the Giants moving forward. And that can be the difference between where they are right now, which is, you know, tied for eighth. Right now they're in 10th, but they're tied at 24 points for the final playoff spot. That can be the difference between where they are now and potentially moving up into the fourth, fifth, or sixth spot, where, again, they're just 4 points out of fifth right now because things are still so tight.
Nathan, I am pining for Burke Hood to continue to move like Jagger.
Oh, that's a trifecta. That
go,
is
man.
Great.
And don't give this
that
job to great. A chimp. Man, let me tell you.
Boom, bada bing. Love it.
There you go. You can use all of that stuff. Thank you, pal. Bill's coming up next. Gotta run. You're the best. And we'll see you on Friday.
Thank you so much. We'll see you then.
Stay with us. Bill Wilms coming up next. This is White Spot, a presentation of White Spot. It's Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Bernoye has it on that way. Here's a shot. Henderson made a wild stab work spell. Here's another shot. Right by the score. Henderson right in front of the net. And the fans of the team are going wild. Henderson with 34 seconds left in the game. And this crowd is going wild.
That just never gets old. I never get tired of hearing that. Meanwhile, as promised, Billy Wilms, who's here, the pride of the Vancouver Giants, called a commentator, along with your play-by-play broadcaster, Nathan Kanter. I'm Brooke Ward. It's White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Thanks for being with us once again. Hello, Mr. Wilms. How are you here on a Monday night?
Very good, thank you.
I know any night's a good night for you. You just live in the You and your wife, Eve, are living the dream.
Oh, man. One day at a time, thankful, blessed, family, health.
Sheesh.
And it is. My friend, one day at a time.
I know, and she's so sweet and nice, and I bet she's a great cook, I bet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I actually got to thank her over and over again now about the way she prepares meals. But having said that, at where we're at in our stage, she doesn't have to cook an awful lot. Never breakfast, never lunch, honestly.
That's good.
I'm talking many, many years now, but dinner's at home probably 4 nights out of 7. A couple nights we'll be going out.
You and I, you know, the guys, you and I anyway, not to speak for everybody, we can handle breakfast. I mean, okay, it's a muffin. Or, you know, you're at the golf course. Okay, I'm going to have something at the golf course, as the case may be. I could figure that out. But when you come home and settle down, it's nice to have someone who actually knows how to cook. Like my wife, don't tell her I said this, she thinks she can cook. But how do I tell her she can't? So, you know what I mean?
You're in a pinch there, bud.
What do you do? I could use some help. Text me right now. But it's kind of like, well, how do you tell someone they can't? You just got to sort of like, I'll eat it.
You got to grin and bear it, I guess.
It's better than what I can do. So don't get me wrong. It's better.
Is it at least healthy?
Oh yeah, it's better than what I can do. But it's just sometimes it's like, yeah, okay. But yeah, she really thinks she's like a great cook. It's like, yeah, you know, good thing you're good looking. So anyway,
you got that right.
I know. Me too, man. All of us. It's a good thing you and I are so good looking, Billy. We'd be in trouble. The Giants, oh, it's a great segue. The Giants were good looking in their last couple of games, I would suggest to you. The win in Penticton in the shootout. And then, I mean, outshot 58-22. Who am I to say good looking Saturday night against Everett? But that was so entertaining. And they got goaltending and they've won two in a row.
Yeah, you know, they didn't get off to a great start, obviously. And they were missing Ryan Lynn on Wednesday. And I'm going to get back to them. But that 5-2 loss, I thought, in Wenatchee, you know, that wasn't particularly good. Not much pace, Brooke. Not much urgency. Not a lot of passion. A lot of stop-and-go hockey. And I didn't think there was any build-up to the offense. Nothing, you know, nothing really connected. To me, it was typified. They had a first-period power play. They didn't get a shot on goal. They never got it inside for a setup in the Wenatchee zone. And on the other side of that coin, the Wild get a power play and they get a goal 5 seconds into the power play. And you know what? I wondered out loud with Nathan Canter, does Ryan Lynn really create that much offense as a quarterback on the ice anytime he's out there? And I saw the answer a couple of days later. By the way, they had Thursday off, and you know, after that loss in Wenatchee, and it was a great time to evaluate and probably reset. And Lynn joined the team for Friday, and you know, there was a significant difference.
The Friday game, 3-2 in a shootout. Schmidt his 16th, Sparks his 10th. Schmidt scores 5 seconds into the hockey game, and it's 2-0 after two, and they give up the lead, Bill, but they win it in the shootout.
Yeah, I thought the team did about a 180 degree difference from Wednesday night. And the answer to, does Ryan Lynn make that big a difference to this hockey team on the ice? The answer was definitively answered yes in the game against Penticton, regardless of, you know, the fact they got outshot so bad and Kelton Pine was so terrific. But, you know, it's so obvious. It was good in the prospects game, CHL against the U.S. National Team Development Program. But you see what happens when he comes back into a Vancouver Giant uniform. You know, Brooke, he drives the offense right out of his own zone with simple, straight, forward plays. And if you're on the ice and he has the puck, your group is most likely heading up the ice. Okay, they're heading north. And I've said this to you, I say this a lot. A quarterback isn't just a guy on the power play. He's a guy that gets you the ball regularly, okay, even if you're not on the power play. And you better not be standing still, back to my point on Wednesday night. You know, I swear if he gives you the puck and you're standing still, which is almost impossible to do when he's on the play because he's got it and he's driving it. Him and Howell, a good defensive pair for exactly that. And I always get the feeling that if he gives you the puck and you're standing still, he's going to come right up to you and take it away from him and say, here, I want to keep this thing going. And you know what? Friday night, again, and it was a shootout win, and we'll get to Kelton Pine in just a minute, but Brooke, that shootout win, exactly after the prospects game, you know, Thursday, I guess it was, or Wednesday in Lethbridge, it's so obvious for our fans. And let me tell you, the best puck moving defenseman in the NHL draft in 2026. That's exactly what his reputation is at this point. Okay. And I don't think that'll change. Is he the most physical? Absolutely not. But he moves the puck better than anybody does. He did in that prospects game. And he got accolades for that. But how about Kelton Pine? Did anybody see that coming again?
Yeah, I'm going to ask about that. But just a quick tip for me on Lynn. When Quinn Hughes gets the puck in his own zone for the Canucks, I notice other teams' players head the other direction. Because, you know, they better get back into their own end because Hughes is going to headman the puck or bring it out. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm going to start looking for that because you bring it to mind with Ryan Lynn, Bill. When Lynn picks up the puck, do many of the other players, the opponents, just go turn around and head the other direction? Because they know that's where, if he has room in the puck in his own end, I may as well get into my end because I know where it's going. I start looking for that.
Yeah, and you see, from, you know, not to harken back to Wednesday, but from my standpoint, in my opinion, it was hard to get pucks out of your own end, and you weren't sure that any one of the other defenders could carry it out the way Linda. So you kind of stand still, waiting for something to happen. You're right.
Yeah, I think
he's got the puck. Yeah. You're going in high gear right away.
I better get out of here if I'm in the offensive zone, by the way, as a defensive
player. Oh, yeah, so, to get back. Yeah. Absolutely.
Kelton Pine in the shootout victory. This is incredible. Like 46 saves, but 9 in 5 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime is amazing.
Yeah, like I said on our broadcast the other day, I said he went from great to spectacular. He completely missed that part in between, which is outstanding. He missed that. He just went to spectacular. And you know what, Book, in that overtime, you know, when it's 3-on-3, it's all puck possession, number one. There's no scrambles. There is no, everything's a buildup. Everything's puck possession. And when that happens, you know that the shots are coming and the chances that are coming are spectacular grade one chances, okay? No question. And, I mean, what he did with, you know, the I'd say 8 out of his 9 saves were 10 bell saves. I mean, right head face-to-face with the shooter. And I don't know how he did it. It was unbelievable. But, you know, 10 times Kelton Pine in his 114 games in the Western Hockey League, Brooke, he's had a 9.58 or more save percentage. 10 times. And, you could see where he was the MVP on the Regina Pats last year. I mean, a team that finished with 16 wins and 21st out of 22 teams, he was their MVP. You can see why. He was just spectacular. And as I said to Nathan, it's hard after that game. It's hard to believe that was only his second win as a Vancouver Giant, 10 games played. But I thought it would be a travesty if the Giants wasted that goaltending performance, without a doubt.
Well, the game on the game against Everett, it was kind of one-sided, except when it came to the final score, 4-3. So I'll take you right into Burkhood, 55 saves, a game I think, obviously, I'm way out on the limb with this one. He needed a game like that, I would suggest, Mr. Wilms.
100%. And he needed a lot of shots. Not sure he needed as many as he got. But he wouldn't have been happy with 15 or 20, even a 25-shot night. I mean, at night. He had to get double that, and he did.
And an .879 save percentage on the season now as well. So it's starting to move up because it was languishing a little lower off the top. And he was a second-half guy last season as well and picked up right about the front end of December. So keep an eye on that. Marwelli, by the way, had a penalty shot. Sniper, not in my pool, Bill. But he gets a second of the year on a penalty shot. And just what you think about where this guy's loved by the team, but the fact that he went in and buried it, good for him.
Well, on the way he buried it, he said, we talked to him in the walk-off, he said, I tried to get the goalie to open the five hole. And that's a pretty skilled goal scorer that has that in mind when you're going in on the goaltender. And he did exactly that. We saw the replay. I mean, he took that puck, opened the five hole, got the goalie to spread the pads and fired it right in between. Big league goal. But the start was incredible. I mean, and you know what? Coming back to Vancouver at 5 a.m. from Penticton, to get that start on the first three shots on goal, 1-0, 2-0, and then ultimately 3-1 all in the first period by the 10-minute mark. Have you got that?
I've got the three goals for you. By the way, Dominic Kelly, his second of the year, that was 2:29 in. A beauty, a laser to the top shelf off left wing. Haliburta, a couple minutes later, chased the goaltender with his 15th. Schmidt scored a beauty under the bar as well. Then you'd had the Marwelli game winner on a penalty shot ultimately. But what's your take of those three goals in particular? I knew, other than the Marwelli one, of the way the Giants, whether it's these goals they've scored or maybe many others, Bill?
Off the rush. All three of them, off the rush. That there was no forecheck, no, getting the puck behind a defenseman. Dominic Kelly gets it in open ice. He's away, and, I mean, he buried that like a 40-goal scorer. Haliburton. You know, and Schmidty, the passes that, the plays that that Ryan Lynn made on that, I think it was the Schmidt play. I mean, that was exactly what I was talking about. It was, you know, it was exactly what they needed. And, you know, they skated downhill for the first, 10 minutes of the game before they got the big job of having to come back uphill. And it was hard, but they hung on. But that start was what propelled them to the win, without a question.
Yeah, here are the goals. By the way, here's three quickies in a row for you, Vancouver, basically. Leading 2-0 early and then leading 3-0 as you got, I guess it was still in the first period. It was a 3-1 hockey game in the first. Regardless, here's the first three Vancouver goals.
And now for Temple. Followed up by Chance. He can't cut to the middle. Here's Dominic Kelly with speed into the offensive zone. A shot! Scores! To the left point for Chasko. Quick shot deflected loose in front. Lynn will step up. He's got time and space. Looks for Haliburton. He's in behind the defense. Right circle, a shot. He scores! Their first white spot power play of the game as Schmidt will carry in with speed. Down the right wing, he's got a step. He's in. He scores!
A lot of goals. Nathan Kander had to call in a big hurry there, working the throat lozenges today, I'm sure, Bill. But, yeah, what I didn't hear there was your back selling those goals. But if you were going to say something, you may have touched on it already. All off the rush.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And it's not often the goaltender gets chased, you know, that's tending net for the Everett Silvertips. But I know you heard Lynn's name in there once, and I think there was a couple other that he was involved in the build-up. That's exactly what Ryan Lynn brought to the game. And can I just say this about the Everett Silvertips? Because you're going to be playing them again in a couple games. They play Portland coming up Friday, and then they're at Everett. You know, Everett, and I'll try to get through this quick. Everett's phenomenal road record and home record, always for the last 4 years, Brooke, are almost the best in the league. And you know, they wow you with that. They come into your building, or you go into their building, you're immediately blown away. However, there's a big but. When you compare their home ice wins and road wins during the regular season and then compare what they do in the playoffs, it's disastrous. Their road record in the playoffs is 6-10. This is post COVID. Their home ice record is 8-9. They are 14-19 on road and home in the playoffs.
What happens?
And that's the big question. What happens? Portland is not, the last four playoff series since COVID, they've been knocked out in round two twice and in round once, including Vancouver beating them 4 years ago in round one. You know, if ever, Brooke, that there's the saying, you know, regular season records don't mean anything come playoff time. This is a Everett team that simply puts an exclamation mark behind that. There's something that you get intimidated by their game during the season. They fly around. They move the puck. They attack in swarms, but they can't get it done in the playoffs. And we talked about this at length before the game. This season, everything that the Everett Silvertips do in during the season, you have to take with they take not you they take with a grain of salt
because they get to prove it in the playoffs.
They got to prove it in the playoffs, man.
Haven't been able to so far. Interesting.
They haven't been the last 4 years. They haven't been able to.
You need to keep a close eye on that, Mr. Wilms. Thanks,
well, it's
Bill.
Okay. Fascinating. Good stuff, man.
It is. You're fascinating. Thanks, pal. I will see you when Portland. Cam Neely, Bills. Cam Neely's old Portland Winterhawks come to town. That's what I think of. I don't know who you think of. Sounds Cam Neely to me. Here comes Portland on Friday, my brother. I'll see you then.
We'll be ready for them. They're hot. I can tell you that now. Coming into this game, they're good. They got a great record in the last seven games. All right, I'll talk to you. I'll see you Friday.
Billy Wilms here, Vancouver Giants Friday against Portland. Get your tickets, vancouvergiants.com/tickets. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I so much appreciate it. Very nice of you. Always appreciate it. Always appreciate you guys being nice. Jack the Giant, too. He's pretty chill.
Ho, ho, ho.
And it's Jack the Giant season two. Is the Steel Santa's theme song, Ho, Ho, Ho. I think it's copyrighted by Jack the Giant, though, but we'll look into that very shortly. Jack the Giant is with us. Glad you're with us, too. Next week, we will be back with White Spot. Vancouver Giants this week. I'm Brooke Ward. This is Sportsnet 650.